want to welcome everyone, and it's such a long time. Last time I came is on May, so almost a few months now. I wonder if you still remember what I shared, but I will remind you later. But first of all, let us sing a song. This life I live. This life I live. I like this song, I like the lyrics, so when we sing it, really look into the lyrics, okay? Everybody can sing because 10 of us can sing. Everybody. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for keeping us throughout this COVID period. And thank you that we can gather again before you. We pray that you speak to us, Lord, in our hearts. Touch our hearts. And we offer our life before you. Only, Lord, you can make our life meaningful and fruitful before you. So do something in our life, Lord. We commit every heart before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, what I'm going to share is about who and what. Last time when I came, I asked you, who are you? Remember that? Anyone remember that? No? Okay. If I ask you, who and what? If I ask you, do you know someone in the Bible? The first question he asks is who and what? Can you remember anyone? When he appeared, he said, who and what? You can't remember? Let me help you. In Acts chapter 9, verse 5, it says, and he said, who are you, Lord? Do you know he? Who is he? Anyone? Paul. Saul at that time. The Lord appeared to him when on his road to Damascus. And suddenly he was blinded. And then he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So, who are you, Lord? The question is, who are you? So last time when I come, I ask you, who are you? Who do you think you are? And now the second question, once the Lord answered him, the second question he asked, I think is very related to you as well. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? So the first thing, now he knows who the Lord is. And the second thing is, what do you want me to do? Maybe you should ask God as well. What does God want you to do today for him? Not just, do you know who Jesus is? Yes, I know who Jesus is. And that's it. How about your life? What does God want you to do? What does he want you to do at this time? Now notice, the Lord didn't say, I want you to do 300 things and give him the list. No. The first thing, arise and go into the city. Only one thing at a time. So maybe the Lord speak to you one thing at a time today. Maybe he's telling you, hey, wake up. Hey, go to school. Hey, be punctual. Okay, so one thing at a time. Now, why is this important? Let's think about the who. Why is that important? Who? Let's think about the who. Now, there are billions of people on earth. If you disappear today, how many people would notice? How many people will cry for you? Maybe how many people know your name in these billions of people on earth? Maybe 200 people, 500 people know you. If you die today, how many people will cry for you? Maybe 10 people will cry for you today, but after 1 year, who will still remember you? Maybe only the close one, two or three people will remember you. So in my feeling, I'm so insignificant. Nobody knows me. I'm as if I'm nothing. I don't know if you have such feeling. So I want to know, who am I? I'm nobody. What is the purpose of my life on earth? What is the meaning of my life on earth? I'm nobody. If I disappear, nobody know about me. So sometimes people have their identity problem. So they try to be someone else. Oh, that man is a great man. I want to be like him. Oh, he's a great tennis player. I want to be like him. He's a great musician. I want to be like him. He's a movie star. I want to be like him. That is a great man. So your whole life try to look like that man or that woman. You try to imitate somebody great. But you will never be that person, isn't it? So if you don't know who you are, what is the meaning for you on earth, then you try to follow someone else. So that is the problem. Do you have a key in your pocket? Can you show me one key? Raise it up so people can see. Now, everybody, we can see that key. Thank you. There are billions of keys on this earth. Does that key mean anything to you? It means nothing to me. I can drop it, I can lose it. If you ask me to buy it, I won't pay a penny for it. It's nothing to me. But that key is important to him. Why? Because he is the owner of that key. And he knows what that key, what is the meaning of that key. With that key, he can start the car, right? So that key is meaningful to him. That piece of metal is meaningless to me. It's worthless to you. So to be meaningful and to be you have a meaning and a purpose on earth, you have to find the master. You want to know who you are, then you have to know who you are for. Who is your master? And once you come to the master of your life, then he can tell you what is the purpose of your existence. So only Alex can tell that kid, you are mine. You don't have to be some other key. You belong to me. The meaning of you is in my hand. I can use you. I can drive my car. You are meaningful. You are very important to me. Is the key important to you? Yes. While you may be meaningless to millions of people, your existence, nobody will cry for you. But find your master, and he can tell you, what's your purpose on earth. You don't want to live a meaningless life, find your master. And he can tell you what you are supposed to do. Just like Paul, remember? Who are you, Lord? If you want to know who you are, you have to find the master. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Once you find the master, and the master, what should I do? What do you want me to do? What is my purpose on earth? Then the master can tell you what you are supposed to do. You'd want to live a meaningful life on earth? Maybe 50 or 60 years, you want that to make that life meaningful? Find your master and ask him to show you what you are supposed to do. Let us look at the first verse. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him all things, including you there, you are created for him. All things are created in heaven and that on earth, visible and invisible. Everything you see, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So you are not created to be a scientist, a musician, a doctor. You are created for God, for Jesus. This is, you find your meaningful life when you find your master. The second verse, in Acts 13:36. Now it tells us about David, his whole life, how he has served his own generation. Notice, David lived a meaningful life, he served. Are you serving something? Are you serving mammon? Are you serving for money? Or are you serving God? By the will of God. Now, not only you find the master, we can also find God put you in this generation for his will. So, just like that key, find Alex. And now, that key, when ask Alex, why do you want me here? Why do you put me? You are here for my car. I can use you. You are very meaningful to me. So Alex can speak to the key, just like God can speak to you. You are for me in this time, in this own generation, to serve me following my will. Okay? So let's see another verse. Another place. Now, last time when I came, I pulled a string, remember? Maybe you can't have forgotten. I talk about in the past. In the Bible, it talks about in creation, how God created everything. And now, to the present, now, today, you are here. And in the plan, God's plan and purpose, God continue into, in the future, there will be a new heaven and new earth. And we are there for a purpose. At this time. So we know, now God created me in here, so I have to serve his purpose. I'm not created to here to enjoy the food on this world, enjoy to have a good time on earth. No, I may have a bad time. Who cares? I do not exist for just for having enjoyment, having a good time. My existence is for the will of God. You are here for this purpose. You came here, you come here and listen to me right now is for this. God saved you, God called you for His purpose. Let's look, think more about present and what. Now, in order to, now, just remember, just now we talked about when God spoke to Paul. Paul asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? In order for us to serve God in His purpose, God has to change us. Can I ask someone, can I ask the kid crawling down there, go and fight the battle for me? No, that kid was not trained. He was not equipped to do the job. Can I ask you, hey Jessica, go and save that person. He has got a heart attack. Jessica will panic. Heart attack? How do I know how to save him? Where's the heart? Boom, boom, boom. Not here, up here. So you have to learn something in order to serve God, isn't it? God has to train us in His way so that we can serve Him. So the training process begins. When God saved us, we need something. The first thing we need is, but as many as received Him, we can't serve Him if we don't belong to Him. We don't accept Him as my Lord. So if we receive Him to come into my life, He gave the right to become children of God. That means He gave His life to us. When you become a believer, when you become a Christian, He gave His life to you. The first thing, before He trained you, He put His life in you, in me, to those who believe in His name. The second verse we can see is Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, we are having a relationship with God. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So in order to train us, to equip us to serve Him, He has to given us His life, the Spirit into your heart. So when you believe the Lord, when you come to baptize, you are telling God, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to follow you my whole life. Start training right now. I'm your disciple. Disciples mean discipline. Meaning I'm your student. I would like to learn from you. Train me. I'm ready. So He said, He didn't give you a book. He gave the Spirit into your hearts. So something internal. Okay, not outside. Internal in your life. If you do not have that, you are not a Christian. If I ask you to put up your hand, do you have God's Spirit in your life? Think about it. I may ask you later again. Do you have the Spirit of God in your life? If you don't have that, no trainings. We can't start at all. Next verse. Now, if you have the Spirit of God in your life, the training begins. When you go to baptized, that means you should start already. If you baptized 3 or 4 years ago, you should be in year 3 or year 4. You should have learned many things already. Now, how does it begin? In John 16:13, we know about the truth from the Bible, but I can't do it. I can't be perfect. I want to live a good life, but still, I felt the power of sin in my life. I'm always angry. I'm always lazy. I'm always filled with hate. How can I change my life into a life of love? Now, notice something. The importance of the Spirit in your life is when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He's the guide. You don't have to, where is it? How can I enter? If I'm the first time to come here, where's the front door? I need a guide. Better than a map, isn't it? people have got problems reading the map. I remember when I first come to Australia, started to drive, my wife always, oh, the road is the other way around. She doesn't know how you can turn the map around. He can only read it like this. Okay? So a guide is better than a map. So into all truth, God sent the Spirit in us to guide us into all truth. He's waiting there, day by day. He's guiding you to live a different life from the past. Have you ever listened to this voice of the Spirit guiding you day by day? Next verse. But the anointing, that is the Holy Spirit, that you have received abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. You don't have to make a call to me, hey Paul, what should I do? Uncle Jonathan, what should I do? The Spirit inside guides you. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it's true and it's not a lie, just as it has taught you and will abide in Him. Taught us to be abide in Him. Abide in Him, that means having a close relationship with Him. Not breaking up relationship. So that's, you see, the importance. God is not giving you something outside. God is changing you, giving the Spirit inside. Once you, so often we got the wrong impression, oh, being a Christian, read Bibles, do this, and then live a separate life. No. God gave you the Spirit inside you, and He will guide us day by day, step by step, to have a good relationship with God. Abide in Him. Next verse. Once this Spirit, Holy Spirit inside us, He will teach you to lay aside something. Put off something. This is good, take it. This is bad, drop it. If you are going to some weight training classes, oh, I want to build up some muscles. You go and ask the trainer, this is fat, no good. Animal fat, no good. If the body, people do all these weight training classes, they say, chicken breast is good. This is good for you. Laying aside all the fats, laying aside all the bad things for your life, the junk food, take up the nutritious food. So the trainer who is going to train you, he will tell you, lay aside all this, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all this evil speaking, blah, blah, blah. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Now notice, I want to be a Christian. Or maybe in another way around, you have been a Christian for such a long time, how come you don't seem to grow? Because you don't have desire for the good things. And because you have still holding on to the malice, deceit, hypocrisy. You have not, even the trainer is there day by day, but you are not listening to him, so your body shape is still like this. You haven't changed. Have you listened to the trainer? So the trainer inside us will tell you day by day to live a different walk of life. In Psalm here, blessed is the man, happy is the man. Are you a happy man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful? Notice sinner, how they walk, how they stand, how they sit. It's their whole life, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is guiding you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, don't walk that way. Don't stand in there. Don't sit there. He's going to teach you. If you have Holy Spirit in you, you should know what I mean. Don't watch that movie. Don't go to that place. Don't join that group. Don't join the ungodly. Don't have a seat. Make good friends, not the one with scornful. And how about the positive thing? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. So if the Holy Spirit guide you, come before the Lord, think about His words. And then your life, step by step, is in a period of time, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. After some time, after 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, we can see the changes. How long you have been baptized? Can we see fruits in your life. Next verse. Now, not just in the Old Testament, New Testament, Paul said, put off and put on. Put off something. Put off your former conduct. Usually you are lazy. Usually you are very scornful. You hate, always complaining. Have you put off this former conduct? The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Do you still let lust control you? I love that. I want that. I want this. Are you still controlled by this? Or be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God. Let's see in Colossians. Put off, put on again. So like a trainer telling you how you, to train your body, don't do this, do that. So it's not a lot of laws to make you suffer, to give you pain. Oh, I don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. He always say no. Make my life a torture me. Make my life horrible. No, the Holy Spirit comes to train you to fulfill God's purpose, to live a holy life, to serve God, to put off this anger, wrath, malice. Oh, I hate him. I hate him. I hate you for the rest of my life. The wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to anyone. Another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So put off and put on. Next verse. Romans, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. To the flesh means according to the need of your body. Oh, I'm hungry, so I just follow it. I just don't care about anybody. I just want to fill my tummy. I just want to satisfy my needs. And all you think about is yourself. According to the Spirit, for those who live according to the flesh sets their mind. What are you thinking every day? Oh, I want to play games. I want to do this, do that. Have fun, have fun, have fun. Set their minds on the things of flesh, how to make myself feel good. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, just tell me what you think, and then I'll know which way you're following the flesh, according to the flesh, or according to the Spirit. What is always occupying in your mind? Let's go further down. Therefore, brethren, we are debtor, we not to the flesh. That means salvation of God saved us to such an extent that we are not bound. Don't say, I can't. God says, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You can say no. Before you come to know the Lord, you can't reject sin. Oh, I have to sin. Well, fair enough. But after you have received the Holy Spirit, you are empowered with another life. You can say no to sin. Even the feeling is there, the anger starts to come, but you can reject it. No, that's wrong. You can say no to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to the death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Do you have the Spirit of God in your life? Do you have the Spirit of God in your heart? So many young people, nowadays there are so many games, on online games. They are addicted. How can I break from all this addiction? I know it's bad for me. It affects my study. I got conflict with people. When people stop me playing, I got angry. You know, all this conflict comes into our life, isn't it? Especially these days, all these online games are so real, so attractive. Now, I tell you, for example, if you follow your desires step by step by step, every day, you will end up with addiction to this. Last time I make an example like this. Hey, I want to see my friend down the road. So I walk down the road, but suddenly there's a big fierce dog attack me. Attack me, I got hurt, I called the paramedic, they sent me to hospital. Oh, I'm saved. Thank you Lord, saving me from the fierce dog. But next day, I still want to go down that road again. So I walk down the same road, oh no, the same dog. Attacked by the dog again, the third day again, attacked by the same dog. If the Holy Spirit is in you, He will stop you. What would He say? Don't walk that way. Don't take step one. If you don't take step one, you won't step two, you won't take step three, and then you won't meet the dog. If you really say, save me from that dog, then why do you still go that way? May the Spirit tell you each time, every day, if you really want, save me from this addiction, Lord, help me. Ask Him, and the Holy Spirit will remind you. Don't think about that. When you start to turn on the button, don't you touch it. He will remind you on step one. The trainer will remind you and help us to change our lives. Set us free from all this addiction. So the outcome, we can be a holy vessel. But before I go into that, let me put it more concrete. So, how do we start each day? If you want to be trained by God to follow Him, these are the things you should consider. Before the bad things come into your life, ruined your life, let God come in first. How can you stop the dirty thing to go, the bad thing to go into a cup? Fill that cup with good thing first. Fill it so that no more space for the bad things to come in. It's that simple. I put all the good things in first, then there won't be limit. If you are free all the time, nothing to do all the time, then you said Satan will come, do this, you have time, do this, then you do that. But if you fill your life with something good, positive first, for example, when you come, build up a habit to come before God. But not just read the Bible, finished. No, make this come before God meaningful. Draw near to Him, prepare your heart. May God, Lord, I come to You, give me a desire. Talk to Him. Don't rush. Give me a desire to know You. Show me something. Show me about You. Show me Your words. When God shows you something, meditate on it. Think about it. Digest it. And respond to God, what God has spoken to you. So when you come to read the Bible, don't just say, oh, chapter 1, verse 8, okay, finish my today's duty. Don't. Make it a good time. Really come with a heart. Really ask God to show you. Really communicate. Speak to God. Thank You. And then after that, because you have made contact already, then you have something to say. You can, oh Lord, I'm just like that man. I always sin. Confess your sin. And then you can give thanks to God. Thank You for guiding me today, Lord. Thank You for helping me. Oh, You are almighty. Indeed, You hear my prayer. A few days ago, I have to rush to the aged care center because my father was there. And I have to arrive before 9. But that day, because all the traffic becomes heavy, I was getting late. So I prayed, oh Lord, let my father stay in the chair. Don't let him walk around because he has got a tube to a machine. If he walk, but because he always forgot. If he walk without knowing that he pulled the tube, then he will be in big trouble. Because the tube comes up from his stomach. There's a tube outside. So I'm getting late. So I pray, oh God, make him stay, make him stay. And when I arrived, he was about to walk out the room. And just in time to stop him. So I really thank God for He listened to my prayer when I was driving. Oh God, God, you are in charge. You can do it, God. So let God participate, take part in your everyday life. When you have worry about study, when you have struggled with sin, bad habits, tell Him. Let God ask the trainer, what should you do? Your weakness. Oh, I'm always lazy. I don't have the heart to continue. When you have fear. Oh, I fear about the exam. Sadness. Oh, I try so hard. Still, I didn't get a good mark. I want to get into that team. I failed. Or your sadness. Or your joy. Even your anger. Oh, I hate my brother. I hate my sisters. I hate my parents. Oh, they are a headache to me. I hate my children. All this, your inner feeling, bring it up before God. And He will tell you how to handle it, to change your heart. So, not just, read Bibles, not say prayer, every day praying the same thing. No, let God come into your life, take part in your life, every feeling. Something when I'm out there looking at the clouds. Oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, beautiful day. So you can give thanks to Him. Thank Him for the food. Let Him be a part in your life. That's a good practice when you come, before you take food, give thanks from your heart. So let God be a part in your life. Talk to Him. He can listen to you. And He will help you, deliver you from sin. Now, training is not, you won't feel comfortable or easy. Every training has to be, there's a demand there. You won't feel like, oh, on holiday. No, training means you have to sacrifice something. If you don't see the purpose of training, oh, this is too bad, this is hard, why? When I was in high school, oh, why do I have to study this? History, I hate history. Oh, geography is better. Chemistry is interesting, I can do some experiment. So, why? Why do I have to suffer like this? Why can't I just do what I want? Why can't I play games all day? Now, if you want your life to be meaningful, you have to make a choice. You have to sacrifice something. And then you learn something. You know, all the doctors in the hospital, they spend many years, in training. They don't have enough sleep. They have to study very hard. After learning all this, then they can bear responsibility. They can help people. They can save people. They can live a fruitful life, meaningful life. So if we want our life to be meaningful in God's hand, we need training. And Holy Spirit is training you today. So don't think, oh, after baptism, no one can demand me anything. I can live an easy Christian life. No. Holy Spirit is in you. The trainer is in you. Teaching you, training you, guiding you every day to put off something, to put on something. Make your life meaningful. Make our life a holy vessel before God. So, are you being trained today? Let us look at in 2 Timothy 2:21 to 22. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, cleanses is part one. He will be a vessel for honor. God is going to use you, sanctify, cleanse you, and useful for the master. So if it's dirty, God cannot use you. If your whole life is filled with junk, God cannot use you. You have to get rid of the junk. Your life is not a rubbish bin. Don't let everything. If I'm Satan, I know how to ruin your life. I give you the junk. You like this? I give you more. You like this? This is good. This is really what you need. I give you more. And then your whole life focus on the junk I give you. Then your whole life will be ruined. And God cannot have a holy vessel. So Satan knows how to ruin your life. God wants to save you and make you useful. Now it's your choice. What do you want your life to be? You want to be useful for the master, prepare for every good work? If you do, flee from youthful lust, but pursue, now always negative and positive. Our whole life is not just flee, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So my simple message is, who and what? Who are you? Depends on, you know, who is the Lord of your life, your master. And if he wants you to serve his purpose, he's going to train you by giving you the Holy Spirit. And today, each day, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you into the truth. He will make your life useful for the master. You want to be useful or you want to be useless? It's up to you. God saved you, but if you don't agree, you can be accepted to be a doctor in the medical course, but you never attend lectures. You can't save people. You don't know where the heart is. You can't do any operation because you never learn. Yes, you are accepted. You can bring up a card. This is my student card. Medical student first year. After 10 years, still medical student first year. Have you ever attended lectures? Nope. Too busy. Have you ever studied a medical book? Nope. Not interested. Then, even though you have a student card, but you are a useless doctor because you never learn. Shall we learn before the Lord? May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, thank you for saving us. We commit our life into your hand. Only you can make our life meaningful. And we pray that the Holy Spirit each day can speak to us, guide us, and may we respond to your word and listen to you. Only you can change our life and make our life useful in your hand. Lord, this is our need. This is our desire. And even if this desire is not strong, Lord, make it strong. Let your Holy Spirit touch our hearts, Lord. Let our life be meaningful in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have any questions, you can ask me. Feel free to come and ask me. The meeting stops here, and we are going to have morning tea outside. And supposed to have been fully vaccinated, we can join the morning tea. Okay, so after 10 minutes, I don't know where is the morning tea. This side or that side? We have a set of it. Okay, give us some time. Okay. Okay, can some boys help us to? Can you tell them I don't know much? I'm not sure. Okay, maybe I'll play later.